الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى من كان يريد حرث الآخرة نزد له في حرثه ومن كان يريد حرث الدنيا نؤته منها وما له في الآخرة من نصيب وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام فيما يروي عن ربه جل جلاله يا عبادي تفرغ لعبادتي أملأ صدرك غنى وأصد فقرك وإلا أملأ يدك شغلا ولا أصد فقرك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. I hate starting with an apology, but I think apology is due. Unfortunately, a journey that normally takes me half an hour to 45 minutes took me 1 hour 15 minutes today. خير, it was مقدر. But I do apologize to the brothers for making you wait. خير, الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. We thank Allah تبارك وتعالى for giving us, hopefully, inshallah, one extra day of Ramadan. The signs are that we will have an extra day, although it's still depending on the local moon sighting. What does this one extra day mean? I was just thinking to myself, what does it mean? It means an extra 200,000 people, inshallah, free from Jahannam. And how do I come to that conclusion? Every night, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala frees 100,000 people from Jahannam. Every night of Ramadan, Allah frees 100,000 people from Jahannam. And then the last night of Ramadan, the amount of people Allah freed, the entire Ramadan, Allah frees them again. So 22.9 million people in Ramadan, in the 29 nights of Ramadan, and inshallah, 2.9 million people on the last day of Ramadan. Comes in riwayat. So an additional 200,000 people free from Jahannam, inshaAllah. So may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make us of those utaqa, of those free people. But from us, some of us were thinking, okay, fine, you know, let's do Maghrib and that's it, finish, close chapter, put the Quran on the side, put the tasbih on the side, and mashallah, now it's time to be normal again. And this was the subject matter of today's discussion. My dear brothers and respected elders, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu Amma Nawaluhu has given us this Ramadan to change our ways, not to maintain our ways, to change our ways. Satisfaction, there's no satisfaction for a believer when it comes to his deen. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that when it comes to the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or when it comes to deen, look at those who are better than you, those that are higher than you. And when it comes to dunya, the world, look at those who are below you. Qana'at in deen, to be content in deen, is dangerous. What do I mean? It's a general phenomenon, and this is part of Shaitan's trick to me and you. That when it comes to deen, so if I'm doing my 5 times salah, I will look at the one who only does once a week salah. And I will say I'm better than him, so I'm okay. I'm supposed to be looking at the one that does 5 times salah in the masjid with takbir ula, and who's always in the first saf here, and say, wow, how amazing this individual is. He's in the first of every single day. He's getting the most reward out of the entire congregation because he's right behind the imam every single day. I need to be like him. I need to come to the first saf. But shaitan makes me look the other way, saying that, look, I at least I do 5 times salah, you know, maybe one or two salah here and there out of time, but I'm doing my 5 times salah. So I'm better than that individual that only comes to the masjid for Jumu'ah and that only does Jumu'ah salah. And that individual that is doing Jumu'ah salah, he looks at that individual that only comes to the masjid for Eid Salah and says, look, I come once a week to the masjid, you know. That individual only comes once a year to the masjid or twice a year to the masjid. And that individual that comes twice a year, and we've met people like this, that's why I'm not just hypothetically talking. We've met people like this. We go door to door knocking, gush, encouraging people to come to the house of Allah. And that individual that comes twice a year, he's also contenting, at least I'm a Muslim. I come to the mosque. I know where my local mosque is. I come for the two Eids. I come. And this is dangerous. This is dangerous because this attitude prevents progress. Prevents progress. And as a person becomes older, he needs to progress indeed. He needs to go ahead indeed. He needs to go ahead. Our attitude towards the people of the when it comes to the world is a person who has a car is looking at that individual who has a Mercedes, a BMW. That person who has a Mercedes, BMW is looking at the person who has a Rolls Royce. And that person who's driving a Rolls Royce is looking at that person who owns a private jet. So never content. Never content when it comes to dunya. Had that individual who had a car looked at the individual that had a bicycle that would go rain and sunshine, that would go to work on a bicycle, he'd be grateful to Allah, at least I've got a car. And had that individual who had a bicycle looked at that person who is walking to work, he'd be content. And had that person who was walking looked at that individual who was walking bare feet because he had no shoes to walk in, he'd be grateful to Allah for Allah's ni'mat. And that person who is walking bare feet, had he looked at that individual who's in a wheelchair, who doesn't have feet, he'd be content and grateful to Allah for giving him feet. And this is maqsood and matlub in shariat. It's wanted that we show gratitude to Allah for the dunya. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani is a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, give me contentment in the rizq that you have given me. Make me content. Al-ghina ghina al-qalb. True wealth is being rich at heart. Whether you live under a shed, so long as you live under a tree, so long as you are rich at heart, you are the king of the world. Jhopri mein rahe, he's living under a shed, he's eating simple roti and chutney. But he's content with what he has. He's happy with what he has. Nobody can rule him. He will not be a slave of anybody. He's happy with what he has. So there's nothing that anybody can bribe him with. Nothing that anybody can bribe him with. I'm in the construction business. And we would buy kitchens from an individual in Blackburn. And honestly, any salesman I've ever met in my life, I've seen this salesman to be the most content salesman ever. He'll come, he'll measure up, and he'll give you a price. There's no begging. There's no other salesman trick. He doesn't care. You buy from him, alhamdulillah, you don't buy from me. But you know what? Go somewhere else. Every time he came to my kitchen or my site to measure up my kitchen, he was my boss. I wasn't his boss. Every other salesman, I was his boss because he wanted my business. This man, he wanted business, no problem. This is Rosie Roti, but he didn't care. He was the king. He was the boss on my sides. He was the boss on my building sites. Why? Because he's content with what he had. If Allah has written it for me, Allah has written it for me. If Allah has not written it for me, I'll get it from somewhere else. So qana'at in dunya. And when it comes to deen, Rabbi zidni ilma. Only one thing, if Allah has ever encouraged anybody to ask for additional, to ask for more, it is ilm, the knowledge of deen. Deen. Allahumma zid, Rabbi zidni ilma. Allah, give me more. Allah, give me more. Give me more. Look at the attitude of the Sahaba when it comes to dunya, when it comes to deen. Simple example, we may have heard it many, many times. Tasbih, the tasbihat after salah were given because of them. So wealthy and poor Sahaba, all living together in Medina Munawwara. There were many, many wealthy Sahaba. We generally hear about just the poor Sahaba. There were many, many wealthy Sahaba. In fact, the Ashara Mubashara, a substantial amount of the Ashara Mubashara are the wealthy Sahaba. A substantial amount. Uthman Ghani, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Talha. All wealthy Sahaba, multi-millionaires. If you look at what they left behind, you'll be shocked and amazed. You know, today's wealth of these individuals that we know about, their wealth is miniature compared to what these Sahaba left behind. Very wealthy Sahaba, Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, extremely wealthy. You know, one day he gave so much of sadaqah. Just one day he gave so much of sadaqah. And he gave, at a particular moment, he gave such sadaqah. Rasulullah became so happy with Uthman radiallahu anhu. Oh, Uthman, if you do no deed after this, it will suffice you. Uthman radiallahu anhu, very wealthy Sahabi. If we go into his life and if we go into his attitude towards wealth, we'll be shocked and amazed. Rasulullah s.a.w. sends a Sahabi. Somebody came to ask Rasulullah s.a.w. for some help. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, go to Uthman. He'll give you something. He goes to the door of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And he stands at the door of Uthman radiallahu anhu. He's hearing a conversation between Uthman radiallahu anhu and the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who's the wife of Uthman radiallahu anhu? Who's the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They're having a conversation. Uthman radiallahu anhu is telling her off. He's telling her off. Why is he telling her off for? Because they would have, you know, the oil lamps. So the wick on the oil lamp was higher than it's supposed to be, so it's burning more oil than required because they don't need that much light in the house. Uthman radiallahu anhu is telling his wife off because she is burning more oil in the lamp than is required. Now, oil was something that was readily found then. It was something that was insignificant. So this Sahabi that was sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is hearing this conversation. He goes back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Says, this guy is telling his wife off for burning a little bit more oil. What is he going to give me? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go back. Go and ask him. So he knocks on the door. Uthman radiallahu anhu opens. He says, look, I'm sent by the messenger of Allah. I need some assistance. I need some help. Uthman radiallahu anhu comes with a bag of gold coins and gives it over. This man is shocked. He's shocked. He said, can I ask you something? Go ahead, Uthman. He says, oh, Uthman, you were telling your wife off for burning a little bit more oil. I expected nothing from you, but now you're giving me a massive bag of money. You know, if you've got so much money, why tell your wife off? For burning a little bit of extra oil. He says, this I'm going to be taken to task for on the Day of Judgment. This I'm going to be taken account for on the Day of Judgment. Here, this is my reward. This is my akhirat. So this was his attitude towards money. Anyway, khair, where was I? So the attitude of Sahaba. So this was the attitude of Uthman radiallahu anhu in money. He's the one that donated. Biri Uthman. So it's a Jewish man in Medina Munawwara. I'm not being anti-Semitic, by the way. It's just a reality. It's a story, right? So nobody should accuse me of being anti-Semitic. These days, that accusation is very cheap, unfortunately. Khair. So it's a Jewish man. So he had a well in Medina Munawwara, and that was one of the only wells in Medina Munawwara with sweet water. He'd sell this water. Very expensive. And the believers were very, what's the right word? The Muslims were very, you know, hard-pressed. Madinah Munawwara, you know, hard-pressed with water, and they have to go and pay this man a lot of money to sell this water. So Uthman radiallahu anhu goes and offers this water. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was ghaliban. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Uthman radiallahu anhu, Uthman, mentioned to the Sahaba, whoever purchases this well, I will give him such and such, I promise him such and such in Jannah. So Uthman radiallahu anhu goes to a Jewish man. And he says, sell me this well. Jewish man said, no, it's my business. Uthman paid him, wanted to pay him double, triple, quadruple, a lot of money for the well. Jewish man says, no. Uthman says, okay, fine, let's make a deal. I'll pay you this money, you sell me half the well. You keep half. Jewish man says, good money, good income coming. So give him half. So now the deal was that Uthman radiallahu anhu will use the water of the well one day, and the Jewish man will use the water of the well one day. So what Uthman radiallahu anhu done was, he told this Jewish man, he said, okay, on my day, whoever wants water, it's free of charge. So, and on the Jewish man's day, nobody would go and get water because he has to pay for one day and he's getting it free of charge. So a Jewish man came, Uthman, just buy the whole thing. Buy the whole thing. Sometimes, you know, we do get the better of good businessmen. We sometimes do get the better of them. And there are always the strings that you can pull. You just have to think carefully. So the Jewish man then sold the entire well. Uthman radiallahu anhu made it waqf for the Muslims. And there the waqf is again something very, very important that we need to look at when it comes to donation, doing some waqf so that the reward perpetuates. Till today, there's a bank account in Saudi on Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu's name, that well that he made waqf yesterday, many, many 1400 years back. Today, alhamdulillah, that well has produced so much of wealth. There's an entire hotel and an entire building block on Uthman radiallahu anhu's name, and he's getting the reward perpetuated till today. That's the power of waqf. That's the power of waqf. Sadaqah jariyah, waqf. Khair, drifting. from the subject. This was when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Uthman, if you do nothing from today, if you do no other good deed from today, it's sufficient what you have already done. You know, and Jannah is there for you." Okay, maqala Isa to Islam, close the meaning of the hadith. Khair. So I was talking about the attitude of the Sahaba and money and wealth. And the attitude of the Sahaba and deen. So poor and rich Sahaba wa uli Madina Munawwara. Wealthy Sahaba used to give sadaqah. They used to perform salah, they used to go in jihad, they used to give, and they used to do all the good deeds that the poor Sahaba would do, but they had the upper hand because of money. Money is not always a bad thing, money is a good thing as well. If you use it correctly. If you use it correctly, you had Uthman radiallahu anhu who used money correctly, and we see where he is. And you had Qarun who used money incorrectly, and we see where he is. Qarun, you know. His money. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ وَمَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ فِئَةٍ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. We sunk him into the ground with all his finances, and there was no power that could assist him from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So that was Qarun, and you had Uthman radiallahu anhu. I just mentioned one of his incidents. Khair. So money can be a good thing. It's like a knife. A knife in the hand of a good man. He'll cut fruit with it and feed the ummah. He'll use it to slaughter animals and give sadaqah in the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, feed the poor and the orphans. That same knife, you give it into a bad person's hand. He'll kill somebody, he'll stab somebody, he'll destroy a family. Same with money. It's not money that's a problem, it's the attitude we have with money that's a problem. Khair. So these Sahaba, you know, so the rich Sahaba had money. So they used to give sadaqah, whereas the poor Sahaba had no money. So they couldn't give sadaqah. So they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they complaining to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Oh Messenger of Allah, we go in jihad, the rich sahaba go in jihad, we perform salah, the rich sahaba perform salah, we do tilawat of the Quran, the rich sahaba do tilawat of the Quran, we do dhikr of Allah, the rich sahaba do dhikr of Allah, but they also give sadaqah. They also give sadaqah. We can't do that. So our competition, you know, they've got an upper hand. Oh Messenger of Allah, help us out here." I'm giving you the meaning of the hadith, not the exact words of the hadith. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded saying that, "Okay, fine, I'll give you something. After salah, do tasbihat, the tasbihat of the fuqara." One of the names of those tasbihat are the tasbihat of the fuqara. There are two tasbihat mentioned. One is before sleep. That's tasbihi Fatimi, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave that tasbih to Fatima radiallahu anha. And there's the tasbih of the fuqara, because this was the tasbih Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to the fuqara after every salah. So 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 33 times Allahu Akbar, and complete the 100 with la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa ala kulli shay'in qadir. All other riwayat come 33, 33, 34. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave these poor sahaba this tasbih to do after every salah. So after salah, now these poor sahaba are sitting and doing their tasbihat. The rich sahaba also in the majma', in the gathering, in the congregation. Poor sahaba are sitting and doing these tasbihat. The rich sahaba are saying, "You know what, there's something happening, something fishy here. Something fishy here. These guys are sitting for longer. They're doing something with their fingers for a while. We haven't done it. We don't know what they're doing." And they're all hush-hush about it. But they're doing something. But a secret is only a secret when it's between one and two. The moment the third person is told, then it's not a secret any longer. So the word got out to the rich sahaba and they shared it amongst themselves. Now all the sahaba are sitting and doing tasbihati fuqara, or the 100 dhikrs after the salah. So these poor sahaba go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "Allah, our secret leaked. Our secret leaked. We're again on equal ground when it comes to ibadat, and they got money." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Look, I can't do anything anymore. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ." That is the fadl of Allah. Allah gives it to whomever He wishes. That is the fadl of Allah. He gives it to. So Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called wealth the fadl of Allah. Money, wealth. It was wealth, isn't it? Rasulullah called wealth the fadl of Allah. So wealth can be a good thing. It's about our attitude towards wealth. The Sahaba's attitude towards wealth and the Sahaba's attitude towards deen. Never ever did the poor Sahaba go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tell Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Oh Messenger of Allah, these rich people have a lot of money. Make dua, Allah gives me money." There were one or two that had done it, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for them and it destroyed them. Khair. One particular individual that went and done it, and Rasulullah, and it destroyed them. Never ever did they go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Oh Rasulullah, make dua, Allah gives me money. These people have money." No. Our competition is with akhirat. Our competition is with akhirat. They are going to beat me in akhirat. They are going to beat me in jannat. They are going to beat me in akhirat. They are going to beat me in jannat. So I need competition. I need level playing field with them. Khair, one hadith comes to mind. There are four types of people. Hadith of Rasulullah are four types of people. One man whom Allah has given money, wealth. And Allah has given taqwa and deen. Look how kind Allah is. Look how merciful Allah is. Allah has given wealth and Allah has given deen. And he spends left, right and center with his money. And he's dindar as well. He spends left, right and center in good things. Feeding the poor, building masjids, building madrasas, donating for publication of books. Left, right and center he's spending. Left, right, and center is spending. And then there's another man, and Sila Rahmi, obviously, joining ties of kinship. So he's using his money for his akhirat. Now there's another person that looks at him and says, "If only I had money, I would have also spent like him. Rasulullah SAW says that both of them are equal in rewards. The man who was poor, who looked at the rich man, who was dindar, and who was spending money in the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, left, right and center, both of them are equal in rewards. Why? Because this one also had intention that had I had money, I would have spent like him too. So that's first two types. The second two types is a fasiq, fajir, who has money. A fasiq, fajir, who has money, and who spends left, right and center in the disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In the disobedience of Allah, giving to tyrants, to kill, to slaughter, like we see happening these days. Spending on the wrong, haram, zina, on spreading disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Spending on his desires. Spending on breaking kinship, ties of kinship. There are people who do this. May Allah save us. They spend money to break ties of kinship. May Allah save us from being such a evil people. And then there's another man who is seeing this man enjoying his money, fulfilling his desires, using his money, and he wishes, had I money, I would have been the same. I would have showed him how I fulfill my desires. Both of them are equal in sin. The one who was rich and the one who was poor, but looked at that rich man spending in the disobedience of Allah, wished that he had the money so he could do the same. There was one incident, I'm just remembering these incidents. One incident of Bani Israel. There was drought in Bani Israel. Drought. So a man, poor man, was walking in the desert and he saw a big hill. A big hill of sand. And he thought to himself that if I had the amount of this hill in wheat, I would have distributed it amongst the hungry and needy. There's drought. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends wahi to the Nabi of that time that tell this man that I have given him reward as if he has distributed this entire hill worth of wheat in the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to the destitute and the poor. So attitude towards money is different. One is using this money, this wealth, this possession, position, this respect that a person has. These are ni'am of Allah. One is using it for the akhirat. One is using it for the akhirat. And the other is destroying it. Sahaba's attitude was this. Sahaba's attitude was this. They used what they had for akhirat. To develop their akhirat. To make their akhirat. They looked up to people who are developing their akhirat. Sabiqu ila maghfiratin min rabbikum. Compete with each other. Allah has given every human being the capacity for competition and the internal drive for competition. We are naturally made competitive. Naturally made competitive. But our competitions need to be realigned. Compete towards something that is eternal, that is everlasting. That is eternal, that is everlasting, that is the forgiveness of Allah. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. And a garden, a Jannah, the width of which is the width of the skies and the earth. The width, and remember the width of something is always, the length of something is always greater than the width. The length of something is always greater than the width. If that is the width of Jannah, what is the length of Jannah? What is the length of Jannat? Khair. So, this was the attitude of the Sahaba towards their deen and their dunya. We will succeed only if we start treading the path, the lifestyle of Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba. The internal and the external. Today, a lot of emphasis, and rightly so, is given to the external. A lot of emphasis is given to the external. There's two sides amongst the dindar. It's still not enough. Because only about 5 or 7 or 10% that has any connection with deen. But within the 5 or 7 or 10% that has connection with deen, a lot of emphasis is given to the external. So my salah, my fasting, my sunnah beard, my sunnah dress, my topi, And rightly so, these are important factors. These are important factors. A person who is proud of Rasulullah ﷺ will try and emulate Rasulullah ﷺ in every way. But very little emphasis is given to the internal. To the internal, to those parts that are hidden from the zahir. So my heart, what does my heart look like? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. One who purifies the heart, he is successful. One who dirties the heart, he is a loser. He is unsuccessful. What about my internal cleanliness? This morning Imam Sahib was reading in our masjid, Surah Muddathir. قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ وَالرُّجْسَ فَهَجُرْ. ثِيَابَكَ, keep your clothes clean. So it's important that we are clean externally. We are presentable externally. It's important, but internally, what's my condition internally? وَالرُّجْسَ فَهَجُرْ. This is indicative to my internal. Get rid of the internal dirt. Malice, greed, jealousy. These are all love of the world. These are all internal bad traits and illnesses. Introspect. This is why Ramadan was given to us. So we could introspect. Taqwa, a good trait. Tawakkul, a good internal trait. Rida bil qada, a good internal trait. Being happy with what Allah has decided for me. Qana'ah, as I mentioned before. Qana'ah in the dunya, a good internal trait. How's my inside looking? What's that mirror looking like? Because Allah will judge me based on that. What's my dealings like? What's my family ties like? What's my relationship with my neighbors like? What's the relationship with my fellow musallis like? What's the relationship with my parents like? What's the relationship with my children like? What's the relationship with my brothers and sisters like? This is deen. This is a big part of deen. In the books of ahadith, in the books of fiqh, we, the Hanafi school, we study not on a specialist level, but just below specialist level, we study a book called Hidayah of Murghinani. He was a scholar from Russia and that side. Russia, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Imam Bukhari, they were all from that side as well. Khair, from Mawara al-Nahr. Khair. So in his book, it's a book written in four volumes. Salah, Zakah, Hajj. And psalm, fasting. They occupy how much of the four parts? Anybody? One part of the four parts. The other three parts are to do with the rest of our life. A Muslim cannot just be a Muslim in the mosque. He cannot just be a Muslim in Ramadan. He's a Muslim throughout his life, from the time he wakes up to the time he sleeps, from the time he's born to the time he dies, as a son, as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, as an imam, as a muqtadi, as a neighbor, as a businessman, as a partner. We are just not exposed to that deen. You know, haqqi shufa'ah. It's a massive masla. Haqqi shufa'a. If I am going to sell my house, who has the first right to buy my house? An entire bamb on haqqi shufa'a. In a Muslim country, under Muslim law, if I was to sell my house, the first right to purchase the house is my neighbors. is my neighbor's. He is the first man. If I sold it to somebody else before my neighbor got the opportunity to buy it, he can go to the courts and he can demand from the courts to dissolve that trade and to buy it. Did you even know about it? Because a neighbor can make your life extremely comfortable, and a neighbor can make your life Jahannam, hell. They are masail after masail on buyur, on buying and selling. Masail and masail on nikah, on talaq, on wilaya, on kifala, those. On trade, on farming. Entire chapters on farming. So our deen is not just in the masjid. Our deen is an entire code of life. An entire code of life from the time I wake up to the time I sleep. That child that is born, what rights does that child have from the time he's born, from adhan to iqamah, to cleaning him, to naming him, to cutting his hair, to burying the hair that you cut, to giving sadaqah, weighing that hair that you had cut and giving sadaqah, silver, the weight of that hair. All the way to circumcision, to naming, to all the way to when he's seven, now command him to do salah at the age of seven and separate them from the beds. To all the way when he becomes baligh and then marriage and when he becomes a father. All of these are huquq. And all of these huquq, are going to be questioned about on the Day of Judgment. It's just not going to be my salah. It's just not going to be my fasting. Yes, these are major commands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But all of these huquq are going to be questioned about. My attitude towards my brothers, my sisters, have I given them their inheritance? When my sister lost her husband, who was supposed to look after her? I was supposed to look after her. I was supposed to fend for her. Did I fend for her? Did I ask her? I had orphan kids in my family. How did I look after them? How did I take care of them? Did I treat them fairly? Did I treat them justly? All of these are going to be questioned about on the Day of Judgment. Not just my salah. Of course, salah is important. And it's the first thing to be questioned about on the Day of Judgment. But not just salah, an entire deen. So Ramadan was an introspection. It's a moment of thought, thinking. Taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you can inculcate taqwa. And where else taqwa is? كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fasting has been ordained to you like it was ordained for those who are before you, so that you may inculcate taqwa, Allah consciousness. Where else is taqwa mentioned? Anybody? Which other juncture is taqwa mentioned? In nikah. The three ayat of nikah, all three ayat, Ya ayyuhan nasu taqu rabbakum, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqu rabbakum. All three junctures, nikah, all three ayat, taqwa is mentioned. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Allah consciousness, I'm living. I'm not just conscious of Allah in the masjid or during salah time, and that is very important for me, but I'm going to be conscious of Allah throughout my life. If I have achieved this through my fasting, then I am a winner. So it was a moment of introspection, asking ourselves what I had gained in Ramadan and how I need to maintain this after Ramadan. how I need to maintain this after Ramadan. Remember, the chances of my death coming in Ramadan, if you want to be very mathematical, then you can think about the chances of me dying in Ramadan is at least 1 in 12. Yeah, you got 12 months in the year. You got 12 months in the year. If every day had equal chances of my death coming, then in Ramadan it's 1 in 12. The other 11 is out of Ramadan. The other 11 is out of Ramadan. If I'm betting on something based, may Allah save us from betting. Yeah? But if I'm putting my bet on something where the chances are 1 in 12, then the likelihood of me winning is very little. So my death coming in Ramadan is 1 in 12. May Allah give us all beautiful deaths of Ramadan in the path of Allah. But the likelihood is very little. The risks are too great then. The risks are too great. The risks are too great. I cannot just be a Muslim for Ramadan. I cannot just be a Musalli for Ramadan. I cannot just be somebody giving charity in Ramadan. I cannot just be somebody who looks at the Quran in Ramadan. I cannot just be somebody who does dhikr of Allah in Ramadan. I cannot just be somebody who does dua in Ramadan. I cannot just be somebody who controls his temper in Ramadan. I can't. The risks are too great. The way I live will be the way I die. And the way I die will be the way I'm resurrected on the Day of Judgment. If I die in obedience, I will be resurrected as an obedient, in obedience. And if I die in disobedience, I will be resurrected amongst those who are disobedient to Allah. May Allah save us all. May Allah save us all. So my dear brothers, it's important. It's important that now that Ramadan is leaving, we need to take some account of ourselves. What have I achieved in Ramadan? And what do I want to maintain after Ramadan? What do I want to maintain after Ramadan? If I was doing my Fajr Salah every single day in the masjid in Ramadan, then out of Ramadan, I need to maintain that. I need to maintain that. But, Sheikh, I need to go work. Sheikh, I got work to do. How am I going to do it? My dear brothers, this work, we were thinking about it before Ramadan started. Oh, it's going to be tough. Taraweeh is going to finish now at 10, half past 10. And then I'm going to have to get up for tahajjud at 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning. And then I'll, by the time I go to sleep again, or by the time I come back home from Fajr, it will all already be 7, half 6, 6, half 6. How am I going to sleep and wake up and still go work for the entire day, come back home and do my iftar and join Taraweeh and be ready for the next day? I was thinking about all of this, but I done it. I done it. Did I not do it? Have I not completed it? Alhamdulillah, through the fadl and the karam of Allah. How did I complete it? How did I complete it? It was because of determination. I was determined that I was going to use my Ramadan correctly. And because of this determination, Allah paved the way for me to be able to do it all. Honestly, think about it. Most of us, majority of us who are working, were living on 5.5 hours of sleep in Ramadan. Think about it. I know myself, 5.5 hours sleep. If I got the 6th hour, I was lucky. We were living on 5.5 hours sleep. Alhamdulillah, we still performed 20 rakats of Taraweeh and we still fasted for the entire day. How? How? Who done it? Allah done it. We decided. We decided. We chose it. Allah paved the way.
This is tawfiq of Allah. Tawfiq of Allah. Allah paved the way. So if that Allah that can allow us to perform 20 extra rakats every single day, and long 20 rakats, because you're doing tilawat of Quran, the Quran, a juz a day, at least. Long 20 rakats every single day in Ramadan, would that Allah not allow us to perform just 4 rakats of Fajr Salah in the morning and with Jama'ah? If we decide. If we decide, وَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Decision is for us to make. We make the decision, Allah will pave the way. Allah will pave the way. We make the decision. So, we need to introspect. This is with all other a'mal. All other a'mal. 5 times salah. You know, the my contractors ask me, how do you do it? How do you do 5 times salah, 5 times prayer every single day? I tell them, how do you not do it? It's easy, simple. Once you decide, Allah will pave those ways. Wherever you are, Allah will pave those ways. Allah will pave the way. Then no journey will be a means of stopping you from performing salah. No journey, no travel. No way in the world. You're sitting in the president's office and you will ask him, can I just do 2 prayers? And he'll give you the space. How many meetings do we go? I was in court 2 years ago, jury service. In Old Bailey, it was a 5-6 week case. I told the judge, I said, I have to, and it was Ramadan as well. I told the judge, you know, I have to do my prayer. And the judge would call he would call off the court at the time of prayer. He would call off the court. Saturday, Friday, he would say, because I wasn't allowed to leave the court during the session, I had to do my salah in the court. But Friday, I had to go for Jummah. I told him he would call the whole case off, finish Friday, half day. The other jurors are with me saying, Muhammad, you should have told me you have to go every day. We would have finished earlier. When you want to do it, you will do it. Allah will open the ways. Allah will open the doors. Allah will open the ways. But we have to decide. Now, today is the time to decide. If we don't decide today in Ramadan that we want to change, we want to maintain the good that we had achieved in Ramadan, we want to maintain it. If we don't decide today, then never. If not today, we fasted for 30 days for Allah's sake. And after staying 30 days hungry, if we're not making decisions, then when are we going to make decisions? When are we going to make decisions? So we make decisions. Oh Allah, we pick, it's simple, easy, we pick some a'mal at least. Some a'mal at least. Okay, my Fajr Salah, my Isha Salah will always be in the mosque. One who performs Fajr and Isha Salah in the mosque, Allah with Jama'ah in the mosque, Allah gives him the reward of worshipping the entire night. One third of our life goes into sleeping. While sleeping, Allah is giving him reward of standing and performing Tahajjud Salah. Because he is just Isha and Fajr Salah. Is it difficult, my brothers? Is it difficult? Isha and Fajr Salah. The most difficult Salah on the Munafiq is Isha and Fajr Salah. So if I am making it for Isha and Fajr Salah, inshallah I can rest content that there's no nifaq. Like that, tilawat of the Quran. We recited Quran. Some of us two khatam, some of us 3 khatam, some of us 1 khatam. Then what, are we going to put it away in the cover and on the shelf? No, my dear brothers, this is the kalam of my Allah, shifa for my heart, takes away worry and concerns and griefs from my heart. إذ اجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي ونور صدري وجلاء حزني وذهاب همي. Make the Quran the nur of my heart. The rabi is autumn, spring of my heart. ونور صدري, make it the nur of my chest. وجلاء حزني, and make it take my huzn, my grief away. وذهاب همي, and make it take away my worries. وقائدي إلى جنات النعيم, and make it my leader to Jannat. So So I will maintain this Quran so that I can gain this benefit out of Ramadan and maintain the dhikr, maintain the dua, that same Allah that is listening to my dua in Ramadan before iftar and in the morning suhoor, that same Allah is going to listen to my dua even out of Ramadan. Ud'uni astajib lakum, do dua to me, I will accept your dua. There's no shart in between that it will have to be in Ramadan, it will have to be during fasting. There's no shart in between. Talk to Allah out of Ramadan the way we spoke to Allah in Ramadan. And like this we maintain. And for that, my dear brothers and respected elders, for that, we need to do dua regularly. Allahumma thabbitna ala al-iman. Oh Allah, give me steadfastness on iman. Give me steadfastness on iman. So that this iman can be maintained out of Ramadan like it was maintained in Ramadan. Dua, dua. The same way we make dua for our worldly needs, more so we should be making dua for our akhirat needs. Ukhrawi needs. Make intention, make firm intention, and then engage in dua. Few moments left. Ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to give us a life, the life that Allah had given us in Ramadan. Ask Allah to give it to us out of Ramadan as well. Inshallah, if we live like this, then inshallah, the same way, after Ramadan, there's going to be Eid. And that Eid will bring happiness. Similarly, after this, it will be the day of our iftar from this world. If we spent our life like we spent Ramadan, then inshallah the joy that we get on Eid day after Ramadan, inshallah that same joy, bigger joy, better joy, we will get when it is our iftar, when it is the time of our death. Puri zindagi, our entire life we spend like Ramadan, we will have Eid at the time of death. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will conclude with this. You know, it's a lengthy hadith. When a person is about to die, and he's a good person, then the ghaib opens to him to some degree. He starts seeing those things that were made a barrier for him, between him and his sight. In his normal life, as death approaches, he starts seeing some of those things. So he sees two angels, good person, he sees two angels sitting at a distance. One has his kafan from Jannat, and one has fragrance from Jannat. You know, you have the bakhur burner that you use. So he has something like this, with fragrance from Jannat. And they were sitting and waiting. Malikul Maut is at his head. And then Malikul Maut starts removing his soul, his ruh. And the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ describes it as if a droplet of water is falling from a leather bag. That with that ease, his soul is removed. As soon as his soul is removed, those angels rush. They do not leave the soul with Malikul Maut. They rush to take his soul. And then they quickly wrap it in that kafan from Jannat. And that beautiful fragrance from Jannat, is then his soul is fumigated with that. And we experience it many times. We experience it when we are near somebody who's pious, and his soul is leaving. He's looking at the window. He's welcoming somebody, and you think, why is he welcoming? Ow, 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 ow. Why is he welcoming? It's those angels he's seeing. He's welcoming them. Imagine you got an angel coming to welcome you like that, and then it doesn't stop there. It continues. So then those angels take his soul to the sky. And as they are taking his soul to the sky, all the VIP angels that are in the world, in the dunya, those VIP angels rush there and think, who is he? Who's coming? They're smelling this beautiful fragrance. They're looking at this kafan. They're looking at excitement. So it's excitement. These are the muqarrabun. Yashhaduhu al-muqarrabun. The muqarrabun witness him. Witness his soul. And then this happens, first sky, second sky, third sky, fourth sky, fifth sky, until it reaches Allah. And Allah says, okay, send it back down now. So this VIP, he's this VIP man that everybody, all the angels, the muqarrabun, the VIP angels are rushing to welcome, to look at. You know, when something happens outside, when a king comes, or when a prince comes, or when the prime minister, everybody's, let me get a peep of him. This man is the VIP today. And he's watching this and he's saying, قَدِّمُونِي, 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 send me forward, send me forward. What's taking so long for my soul to leave? What's taking so long for you to put me in my qabr? قَدِّمُونِي. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, send his soul back to the earth. Because it is from that he is being created. مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. This part comes. After that, then when his soul goes back to his qabr, then the angels come and pose the questions. After that, أَفْرِشُوا لَهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ, spread for him from Jannah, and open the doors of windows of Jannah for him. And. So that is where our Eid is going to be. That is our Eid. That is when our moon of good fortune is going to open for us. When the moment of our fatigue and tiredness will leave us. Ramadan, I have to do salah. Eid, I have to do salah. After Eid, I have to do salah. On my wedding day, I have to do salah. On the day I'm ill, I have to do salah. Salah all the time. Obedience of Allah's commands all the time. No problem. Now is a time when my fatigue is going to. Dunya mein karenge kaam, qabar mein karenge anam, jannat mein karenge mazay. How beautiful, somebody said, in the world I'm going to exert myself. In the qabar I'm going to relax. And in jannat I'm going to enjoy. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make all of our lives like this. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make the way we spent our Ramadan and better, make our life out of Ramadan even better than that. Our elders used to, for 6 months, used to do dua for Ramadan. Some of them, it comes in the books, that some of them would do dua 6 months before Ramadan. You know, we do dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. They would do it 6 months. Oh Allah, give me Ramadan. 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 And 6 months after Ramadan, they would do dua, Allah, accept that Ramadan that went by. Allah, accept that Ramadan that went by. Allah, accept that Ramadan that went by. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal. I know it's Ramadan, it's valuable time, and I've taken a lot of your time. Forgive me for that. And inshallah, we will meet inshallah sometime in the future. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات أو الله أو الله أو الله you are most kind أو الله you are most merciful أو الله أو الله you gave us this month of Ramadan أو الله أو الله you gave us tawfiq to be in the masjid in this month of Ramadan أو الله أو الله you gave us tawfiq to fast in the month of Ramadan أو الله أو الله it is your tawfiq that we recited the Quran أو الله أو الله it is your tawfiq that we made dua أو الله Oh Allah, your tawfiq of the tawfiq that you had given to raise these two hands in front of you is a sign that you want to accept our dua, oh Allah. Oh Allah, accept all our du'as, oh Allah. Oh Allah, accept all the du'as we ask for in Ramadan, oh Allah. Oh Allah, accept our taraweeh, oh Allah. Oh Allah, accept our fasting, oh Allah. Oh Allah, accept our dhikr, oh Allah. Oh Allah, accept our tilawat of the Qur'an, oh Allah. Oh Allah, accept the i'tikaf of the mu'takifin, oh Allah. Oh Allah, accept this Ramadan of ours, oh Allah. Oh Allah, make this Ramadan a means of us drawing nearer and closer to you, oh Allah. Oh Allah, if ever after Ramadan we err and we sin, give us tawfiq to do tawbah, oh Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, if ever we err and we sin, oh Allah, give us tawfiq to do tawbah, oh Allah. Oh Allah, save us and protect us from shaitan, oh Allah. Oh Allah, Allah, make us your friend and your special servant, oh Allah. Oh Allah, admit us amongst your special servants, oh Allah. Oh Allah, admit us amongst your awliya, oh Allah. Oh Allah, admit us amongst your awliya, oh Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, accept all our good deeds, oh Allah. Allah, Allah, accept all our good deeds, oh Allah. Allah, accept all our good deeds, oh Allah. Allah, allow us to value the remaining hours of Ramadan, oh Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, relieve the people of Gaza from their pains and their calamities, oh Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, all of Ramadan went by, oh Allah. Oh Allah, many, many mornings they woke up and they fasted without suhoor, oh Allah. Oh Allah, many evenings they broke their fast without food, oh Allah. Oh Allah, they broke their fast on grass while we were eating the best of food, oh Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, they are your servants, oh Allah. Oh Allah, they are your servants, oh Allah. Oh Allah, they are your servants, oh Allah. Oh Allah, relieve them of their pains, oh Allah. Oh Allah, relieve them of their pains, oh Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, remove the oppression from them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, remove the oppression from them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, if hidayat was written for the oppressors, oh Allah, give them hidayat, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you are qadir of giving the oppressors hidayat, oh Allah, give them hidayat, oh Allah. Oh Allah, the Mughals done oppression on the ummah, oh Allah, on the Muslims, but when you decided to strengthen Islam, you use the same Mughals to strengthen Islam, oh Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, give hidayah to the oppressors of Allah. Oh Allah, and if hidayah is not written for the oppressors of Allah, then rid the world of such filth, oh Allah. Oh Allah, rid the world of such filth, oh Allah. Oh Allah, rid the world of such filth, oh Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, the world has too much filth, oh Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, if hidayah is not written for them, then oh Allah, there's no need for them in this world, oh Allah. If guidance is not written for them, then oh Allah, there's no need for them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, they did not leave their young children, oh Allah. Oh Allah, they were relishing killing young children, oh Allah. Oh Allah, masoom, innocent children they killed, oh Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, you take revenge from them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you take revenge from them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, they killed the elderly, oh Allah. They killed the disabled, oh Allah. Oh Allah, they killed women, oh Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, they did the most horrendous of deeds, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you take revenge from them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, destroy them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, destroy them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, help our brothers, oh Allah. Oh Allah, help our brothers, oh Allah. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq to do whatever we can for them, oh Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, accept our duhas, oh Allah. Oh Allah, this beautiful time before iftar, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you have angels who are saying ameen to our duhas, oh Allah. Oh Allah, listen to all our duhas, oh Allah. Oh Allah, forgive us, our parents, our children, our wives, our neighbors. Oh Allah, oh Allah, forgive the Muslim ummah, oh Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, turn the ummah back to your deen, oh Allah. Oh Allah, turn the youth to your deen, oh Allah. Oh Allah, allow them to practice the sunnah, oh Allah. Oh Allah, allow them to stand in the nusrat of your deen, oh Allah. والله اكسبت هذا دعاءه والله اللهم انا نسالك من خير ما سالك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك به نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم انت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله واصحابه اجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.